Preston Cole is one step away from officially heading the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. While Cole waits for the state Senate to vote on his assignment, the secretary designee says there's no time to waste when it comes to tackling the state's environmental issues, from chronic wasting disease to a myriad of drinking water concerns. Lake Effect's Susan Benz caught up with Cole last Friday at the state fair and asked him about one of the drinking water issues facing some areas of Wisconsin called PFAS.
PFAS is a group of chemicals that have been on our landscape for a long period of time because they're part of our manufacturing processes, from Teflon to Scotchgard, those types of products, which serve us well, quite frankly, can find their way into streams, water, groundwater, surface water, drinking water, and it provides issues and problems for those who ingest that. And so what we're attempting to do is create the rulemaking process about drinking water and how many parts per trillion is okay for human consumption. And so we're beginning that process. It's about a 30-month process. We work with our professionals at the Department of Health Services because they are the arbiter of good health, and we're following their lead. And so what we have to do now is begin that rulemaking process. And so everybody's in the pool as it relates to it. So we'll be hearing from corporations and nonprofits, people concerned about drinking water, people who want to make sure that there's a balancing act between how we move on these types of initiatives. I think it'll be a robust conversation about what I call some of the more insidious types of chemicals, these legacy chemicals. They bioaccumulate in our bodies, and I think people will have a lot to say about it.
Robust discussion, yes, but we need action.
And again, the rulemaking process is beginning, and that's where that action starts.
You're not out there working solo. You have the legislature, you have the governor, you have the Natural Resources Board. So can you sort of maybe, even through an example, maybe through PFAS, what will it take to make that all happen?
So that rulemaking process, once it concludes, that rule will then go to the Natural Resources Board for codification and then forward it on to the legislature and then to the governors for signing. There's a lot of research that's going to be done. There's going to be numerous public and involvement sessions. We'll get to hear from everyone. And as the regulator of groundwater, drinking water, and surface water, the role of the DNR is to move that new rule into place so that we then know what the implications are for human consumption. And that's important for us. And so, again, the DNR regulates groundwater and surface water and drinking water. And as a regulator, we have the role and responsibility to ensure that this gets done.
Back to the PFAS. If that rulemaking all comes together, would Wisconsin have that framework before the EPA does? I mean, I know you said they're doing research, but there's no regulation around PFAS right now at a federal level. Is that correct?
That's correct. While the EPA does not have a codified rule on drinking water, groundwater, we've moved to this idea of what it should be. And many states have lower levels than we do on groundwater or drinking water. But the EPA has moved away from codifying those. They're leaving it up to the states. And so what you're going to have is a quilt work patch around drinking water, groundwater, and surface water that are going to be in play. And if that doesn't concern us, it should, because there's you can't have that kind of differential standards for the waters of your state have vast differences around consumption. And so my hope is that there will be actions from the EPA at some point. Standing down on this is just isn't smart. We need their assistance to codify some of these rules and put it in play, and then we can act accordingly as it relates to the Clean Water Act, and we can act in unison around this country versus this quilt work hodgepodge. Some will have none, some will have high levels, some will have medium levels. That's a problem. It's simply just a problem.
You've had unique experiences. You were the head of and served on the Natural Resources Board. You started your career in forestry, right? So coming into your job now at this magical time you're saying, what do you see as the importance of the role the DNR is playing?
Well, again, we are everything from economic development to where cities, towns, and villages want their boardwalks and restaurants and nightlife associated with lakes and rivers. Our role there is, you know, if they have contaminated sediment, we give funds and monies to remove that contaminated sediment. The role that we have as regulator in terms of environmental protections, what comes out of the end of a pipe from a manufacturing plant, cheese making, to what comes out of the top of a stack for manufacturers as well. So clean air, clean water, the Clean Air Act, we manage that, and the Clean Water Act as well. But we have a robust relationship in forestry, fisheries, and wildlife, and outdoor recreation. Outdoor recreation in the state of Wisconsin is an $18 billion industry, and people make their way to Wisconsin for the traditions of hunting and fishing and visiting our state parks. Family values and the economy associated with hunting and fishing is a big deal. And again, this simple act of planting trees and providing environmental protection, outdoor recreation. We have a robust forestry economy here that the state, local municipalities, county forest associations, U.S. Forest Service, you know, there's 10 counties in the state of Wisconsin where the number one employer are forestry-related industries. It's a 60,000 job, industry in the state of Wisconsin. And quite frankly, it's been our legacy over a millennia in terms of wood products in the state of Wisconsin. So environmental protection, outdoor recreation, are essential in the state of Wisconsin. And our role is to ensure those opportunities get provided and environmental protection is at the foremost of all of that. Because if the environment in which you operate it has tainted water or bad air, then we won't have a robust fishing economy. We won't have a robust forestry economy. We won't have a robust state park economy if our environment is upside down.
So is the DNR currently equipped staff-wise and scientist-wise to do the job it needs to do?
Well, we certainly ask for, you know, additional scientists to work on PFAS. We get two of those. We also have our regulatory model around combined animal feeding operations, CAFOs. The legislature reauthorized positions that we already have to work on those types of things. We're certainly going to need more scientists to work on it. And the reason is that I've made my way to the EPA laboratory in Cincinnati to see how the researchers and the scientists there were able to predict where PFAS is. And so I talked to them at length, and their testing protocols are stellar. I mean, this is what we'll be using to determine where this chemical is. But they're also working on lead pipes, you know, technologies around lead pipes, around, you know, flow molds that can go in and give short-term relief to families around lead laterals. So the EPA, as a regulator itself, has a robust, research program. And so what we're trying to do is emulate some of their protocols. I'm excited to know that we have additional resources associated with clean water. We have $35.5 million associated with contaminated sediments. Removal, well cap programs, and that's, you know, there's about 800,000 wells in the state of Wisconsin that support 1.7 million people. And the testing protocols are there, but people just aren't testing them. And we ask people to test those at least once a year, but we have no authority over private wells. And we know that those private wells need help. They are corroding, they're aging, and folks may not have rural Wisconsin, may not have the requisite resources to do those tests every year. So we'd like to continue to have that conversation about, you know, where we are equipped and where we're not equipped and where our authority begins and ends. But what we're advocating for is testing. And if that means that through the Year of Clean Drinking Water and the Mr. Voss's task force, that what comes out of this is to develop some protocols for well testing, because people need to know what they're drinking, and sometimes they move
away. An affordable way to have that testing done?
Absolutely. I think that it has to be affordable if we want to ensure clean drinking water, if people want clean drinking water. I mean, families are in dire straits, you know, especially where the underlayment, that soil, is in slurry and bedrock, which is like Swiss cheese, and you got leaky septic systems and the Kewanee county area, 15 counties that have that bedrock making its way down to the southwest in Iowa and Grant County and Lafayette County. And so we know too much not to move in the right direction.
Recently, you and the governor spoke about lead and water, the lead contamination concern and issue. Where does that stand in terms of policy and what you hope will come out of it?
Well, the $40 million lead lateral program was struck from the budget, and I believe the governor has reintroduced a new bill to bring that $40 million back for consideration, which is legislature. Look, there are 300 cities, towns, and villages with lead laterals. While people want to focus on, you know, Milwaukee, I mean, lead laterals go, I run from Milwaukee to Racine all the way up to Duluth Superior. And these outdated form of moving water into homes put people in harm's way. Pregnant women, children of the age of 6 are in harm's way from lead in water. We know that there are serious developmental issues for children around lead in their drinking water. And again, you'll always hear me say this. We know too much about what harms that these types of infrastructure does to people. We should be smart about how we go about addressing it. And the way we go about addressing it is putting the requisite resources in place for cities, towns, and villages to begin the process. We have to move, and we have to move quickly. You know, and so, you know, time is of the essence. How many families are in harm's way from lead drinking water? And it's that should be the driving force. It's just we can't allow this type of damage for our youngest, most vulnerable citizens to keep going. We just have to recognize we have to move, and we have to move and act now. Not tomorrow, but now. And that $40 million bill will hit the legislature, and they'll have to deal with that on its face.
You do have a tough job, though.
A lot of responsibility. Very
what,
tough.
What gets you up and moving each day and saying, okay, here I go with another meeting, here I go with another message around clean drinking water?
I have the best job. While my secretaries say that they have the best job, my colleagues, look, we know that the Department of Natural Resources touches every segment of our society, from government organizations to private industry, outdoor recreation enthusiasts, hunters, fishermen, and the ordinary citizens who turn their tap on and want clean water. That role I take very seriously, but it is the best job that I have. I think the time that I've served on the Natural Resources Board, those 12 years helped me prepare for this job, not knowing that this job would ever come, but certainly the rulemaking process and all those rules that came before us has allowed me to, you know, hearken in and usher in a new era for the DNR in terms of our roles and responsibilities. And I have to look around the corner. I have to see what's coming at us. And I have to have staff that's able to see around the corner. We have a robust employee base. We have great partnerships with our partner agencies. We have great relationships with our, you know, friends groups and natural resource organizations. And I think that what I'm realizing is there is a large chorus of people and organizations that not only wish us success, but want to lend a helping hand. And that's important for us, that we may not have all the answers. There's other researchers that are working on other kinds of things that bring us information. But I think that helping hand from, you know, provides us an opportunity to sit at a table and agree to disagree on occasion, but collaborate most often. And that relationship with the public is important for me, and important for me when I was on the DNR board, that 7-member board has been around on this landscape as part of Wisconsin's history, and it will continue to last for another 100 or so years and going forward. But it's the simple act of listening to, you know, folks from Kewaunee County, folks who come to us with problems. And so I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the relationships we have with the public, our natural resource organizations around the state. And I get up every day, big smile on my face, and let's go get them.
That was Wisconsin DNR Secretary Designee Preston Cole speaking with WUWM's environmental reporter Susan Bentz. The Speaker's Task Force on Water Quality is holding public hearings around the state. You'll find information about the group at WUWM.com. You can also find more information on Preston Cole's memories of proudly serving as Smokey the Bear.